Today is Sunday. The date is March 11, 1990. We're on the North American continent. The country that we are in right now is the United States of America. Now, this particular state is called Minnesota, and we're in Hennepin County. The municipality here, where we are tonight, is Eden Prairie. And this building is the building where the people of Wooddale Church meet. This room that we're in, we call this the Worship Center. My name is Leith Anderson. I'm the pastor here at Wooddale Church. And you would like me to stop this as soon as possible. And the reason is because you knew all that, didn't you? You knew the day and the date and where you are and maybe who I am. And it isn't real interesting. It isn't exactly the most exciting thing in the world to have someone come up to you and take your time and tell you what you already know. And God knows everything. Which brings us to the topic for tonight. That yes, indeed, God knows everything. Theologians call it omniscience, which comes from a couple of Latin words, and it means that God is all-knowing. And the Bible gives lots of different expressions of the omniscience of God. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, quote, God is saying, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. Proverbs 15:3 tells us that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And then the familiar words to some of Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So God knows everything, except God is far more than some type of celestial computer with an infinite database who has all information that is there. God not only has all the facts, but God also understands. So he has the meaning. He not only knows where we're going, he knows why we're going there. He not only knows what we're going to say before the word is ever put upon our tongues, but he knows the meaning of the word that we speak, and he knows why, and he knows why even before we know why. There is something that is absolutely astonishing about that, to realize that there is nothing at all that God does not already know, and that he knew it before we knew it. And that he remembers everything, even the things that we have forgotten. And that he knows how it all fits together. And that can be frustrating. And it's frustrating to go up to somebody with real exciting news, and after you have burst it out, to have that person say, yeah, I know. Or to tell someone what you think is the latest and most fascinating and the funniest joke. And then after you do that and then laugh at the end, that person says, yeah, well, it's an old joke. I heard that a long time ago. Or to describe a place to someone and then have that person say, yeah, I used to live there. Or to talk to someone who knows far more than you know about the subject that you have just acted like you are an authority on. Yes, God knows absolutely everything. And Christians are supposed to pray. And there's no doubt about that. The Bible is clear in its teaching that God expects us to pray, and the Bible is loaded with examples. Adam prayed, and Moses prayed, and Elijah prayed, and David prayed, and Peter prayed, and John prayed, and other people from the beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the New Testament, and not just in biblical times. I mean, after all, prayer is the universal Christian experience. My guess is that if we took a survey of who here tonight has prayed, that there would be one of those rare things where it is a universal. It's 100%. Everybody here has prayed. Everywhere you go, in all kinds of languages and places and ages, people pray. Martin Luther, he got up long before dawn. He wouldn't consider starting his day without first having hours in advance that were in prayer. And the Bible is repetitive in what it says. In Proverbs 15:8, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Or Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And then the shortest one that summarizes it all in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. So the Bible's quite clear. God knows everything, and Christians are expected to pray. But does that make sense? I mean, why pray when God already knows whatever we're going to say? Some answers. Answer number one is that prayer is primarily communication rather than information. I think that we mistakenly think that prayer is primarily the transmission of information, especially requests, to God. Whereas, really, information and requests are only a part of prayer. What prayer primarily is communication back and forth with God. It's sharing. It's communing. It's fellowshipping. Charlene and I will have been married for 25 years come the 18th of June this year. And we dated for 5.5 years prior to being married. And we knew each other forever before that. So sometimes we don't have a whole lot of information to share. I mean, we've talked about it, whatever it is. We've sort of gone over that before. And yet I find that there is still a need for us to communicate, although not always in words. I mean, there are other ways to communicate besides words. Sure, why not? I mean, look the other way, all right? Not a word. But great communication. You see, there's all kinds of communication that can take place even without information that is exchanged. And so it is that the omniscient God loves us to communicate with him. Although there may or may not be the information that is shared. Information is quite secondary in prayer to the primary purpose of prayer, and that is communication. A second answer to the question of why pray when God already knows is that prayer is worship to God. Psalm 95:6 says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." The angels were taught to pray, according to Isaiah 6:3, and the words that they were taught to pray are words of worship. Holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then the words that we recited together in unison this morning in our worship service, the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6:9, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, we're taught that the purpose of humankind, for all of us, is to glorify God and to thank him, and that that is done through prayer. Now, obviously, God knows who he is. And God knows everything about himself. He knows far more about himself than ever we will ever know. But he still, like us, loves to hear praise. He enjoys being told that we love him. He delights in receiving our worship from him. And so in any love relationship, the words, "I love you," I mean, even if they've been spoken before, even if both people know that that's part of the relationship, they're essential. They're essential for that relationship to continue and to be healthy. And when one person says, "I love you," to another person, it is only technically a transmission of information. For there's far more than just the information. There's also the heart, the emotions, the feelings that are expressed. when we pray, most important of all is not telling God and is not asking God. Most important of all is worshiping God and loving God. A third answer to the question, why pray when God already knows, is that prayer is not to align God with us, but is to align us with God. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Isn't it interesting that Jesus, so far up front and on the top, chose those specific words? First, that we worship him, hallowed be your name. And second, that we align God's will in heaven with reality on earth. That the purpose of prayer is not to change heaven to be like earth, but to change earth to be like heaven. Jesus himself practiced that. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on the eve of his crucifixion, he prayed, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." It is constantly bringing ourselves into alignment with him. Now, if your car is out of alignment, you know, it sort of goes down the highway like this, and you find when you look in the rearview mirror a stunned expression on the face of the people behind you because they rarely see cars that go sideways. And when you get out and you examine your tires and you look at them, and on the one side they are brand new, and on the other side they are bald and the cord is actually showing through, then you know that it's time for an alignment. And so you take your car over here to Sears at the Eden Prairie Mall, and you pull into the garage there. Maybe yourself pull the car up onto the alignment machine or have the mechanic do it for you. And then a series of adjustments are made. And you know very well that the intent is not to adjust that machine to be like your car. I mean, they don't do that there. And there's no amount of money that would cause them to do it. What you do when you go in there is have your car adjusted with a machine that defines what's straight and what is right. And so it is with prayer. The purpose of prayer is not to persuade God to bend, is not to twist him around so he lines up with what we want. The purpose of prayer is to align us with God and with what he wants. Now, I think that such adjustments need frequently to be made, because when we're driving down the road of life, there are a lot of bumps, and in Minnesota, there are a lot of potholes, figuratively and literally, and so we need adjustments, and we need them frequently. We need often to pray so that we may be realigned with God so that we can track straight. Sometimes those adjustments can quickly be made, so you're sort of into the shop and out of the shop and the prayers are brief. Sometimes it takes a lot of work because we're so bent, we're so crooked, we're so out of alignment that it takes a long time in the adjustment of prayer to get us again lined up with God's ways and with God's will. Sometimes we are out of alignment and we can't even figure out what's straight. And God has even made an alignment provision for that. For in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 28, we are told that the Holy Spirit, when we don't even know what to pray anymore, takes over and prays in our behalf, and he prays for us. Now, often in this case of alignment, requests are part of it. So it is true that there may be requests and should be requests that are made to God when we pray. But those requests, we are told, have to line up with who God is, God's will, and God's ways. In 1 John 5:14, we are told that this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So the definition of what is appropriate in prayer is what is straight and in alignment with God. How then do we figure that out? Well, God has given us a number of signs or signals. He has given to us the Bible, which is the primary resource for determining what is straight and how he is aligned. But also there is the Holy Spirit, who works with our spirit to convince us and persuade us and show us. There is the community of believers called the church. There is our own experience, which is important but is certainly not all important. Our own circumstances in life, our own reason, our own relationship with God. All of this is to say that we in prayer need to have constantly in mind that one of prayer's primary purposes is to get us straight. And let me tell you that when we understand prayer to be that way, it is a revolutionary change both in our Christian lives and in the way we pray. For we no longer see ourselves as ones who go to God to persuade him to be different, but we go rather as subjects before a king, seeking rather to align ourselves with him and the way he wants things to be done. A fourth and a final answer to the question, why pray when God already knows, is maybe the most difficult of all to understand and, I assure you, to explain. It is the answer that prayer is part of God's plan. You know, you've seen those plaques, maybe you have one, that says prayer changes things. And maybe in a more theoretical and theological moment, you've wondered if that's really true. Does prayer really change things or not? Or does prayer merely change us to accept things? Is the adjustment only to us, or is the adjustment also to the reality of the world in which we live? Well, in James chapter 5, we are told that we are to pray if we are in trouble, if we are happy, and if we are sick. And then in James 5:16, it is all summed up by the reference that Jan mentioned earlier, saying that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, saying that prayer does change things. Prayer really does make a difference. But how can that be if God knows everything and God anticipates everything and, in fact, God plans everything far in advance? Well, let me give a shot at explaining, even though I know that my explanation in some ways will be inadequate. Let's understand that God plans everything and that he has advanced knowledge of his plans and he knows that his plans will happen. But that our prayers are part of God's plans, not independent of them, but integrated in with them. So when God plans for what will happen, he includes our prayers as an essential part of the process. For example, Wooddale Church is convinced that God is, in his will, out to reach the Sundanese people of West Java, a hidden people group of about 30 million in number. So God plans to reach those people with the message of Jesus Christ. Part of God's plan includes our prayers for the salvation of those people. We at Wooddale Church have said collectively together that we will pray that God will reach the Sundanese people. And God knew that. And so God incorporated that into his plan. And it works. And it will work. Because those things come together. Now let me try to kind of illustrate this. Connected to this building, we have a little addition that we're putting on out here that we call Phase 3. It's been under construction for almost 2 years, and it was in the planning stage for years before that. Now, the planning included not only program, not only the selection of architect and contractor, but also financing. And the question, of course, along the way was, how is such a building to be paid for? The plan was, and is, that the people of Wooddale Church give the necessary money for the construction of that building. So the giving, from day one, was part of the plan. Not the whole plan, but part of the plan in order to get the finished product done out there. Now, I don't get out there very often, and I haven't been in there for a long time, but I did drive by today, and it seems to be coming along quite well. So my impression at this point is that it's going to happen. There were times I wondered, but it seems like we're really going to go through with this, and that we're going to have that building up and finished, whether we give or not. Now, I've committed to give, and of course, obviously, many of you have. But my guess is that if I give nothing from now on, that building is still going to be finished. It's going to be finished with my gifts or without my gifts. It's a done deal. And yet, at the same time, we know that that building wouldn't be built and couldn't be built without our gifts. So, now look, if you give, the building will be finished. And if you don't give, the building will be finished. But without your gifts, that building wouldn't be finished. Now, all those things are true, and you know that they're true. So then how do they all fit together? Well, you see, the leadership of this church knew up front that the people of this church would give the money. They knew it. And on the basis of their knowing it, which the people of this church, in fact, have done and continue to do and will continue to do, then that being part of the plan ended up and will end up in the finished and completed project. Now, that is a weak human example. But it seeks to make an analogy to God, who really does know everything, everything in advance. And the God who knows everything in advance knows that we will pray and incorporates those prayers into his plans. Will his plans happen with our prayers? Yes. Will his plans happen without our prayers? Yes, they will. And yet, at the same time, our prayers are essential to the fulfillment of the plans of God. Perhaps the best, really, of all answers to the question, why pray when God already knows, is not a whole bunch of words and reasons, but as a person, and that person is Jesus. Jesus knew himself. Jesus was and is himself God. And yet he prayed often. He prayed powerfully. He prayed long. When he prayed, the record tells us, on at least a number of occasions, he agonized in his prayer and he wept. Even though he was sinless, he prayed that he would have power over temptation that came from Satan. We see, as we read his biography in the Bible, that Jesus prayed, especially at the major turning points of his life. He prayed before he selected his disciples. In fact, he prayed all night. He prayed in the performing of his miracles. He prayed at the start of his public ministry. He prayed long and hard in Gethsemane on the eve of his crucifixion. And I think to myself, if Jesus, who is God, if Jesus, who knows far more than we will ever know and who understands prayer far better than we will ever understand prayer, if Jesus prayed so often and so long and so specifically, then we also ought pray to the God who already knows. Let's do it, and let's stand together as we pray. Our Father, may we not be disconcerted, but may we be delighted by your knowledge and by yourself, by who you are and what you know and what you do. And although admittedly we can't always get it fully figured out, we understand that prayer is commanded and that prayer is a great opportunity, and that prayer is essential to what you are about in this world. We can't figure out how things go back far beyond our own time, or how you fit all the pieces of life and history and eternity together. But obviously you do, and we are privileged to be a part of it. And so we worship you, we tell you that we love you, we commit ourselves to you that we may be aligned with exactly the way you are as we track through this week now just beginning. And we bring to you our requests, even our urgent asking for changes, knowing that you bring it all together, and you do it perfectly. And so, for that, we give you glory. We continue to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night. God bless you.